This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The census time is now. The counting part doesn't happen for about another 6 months, but right now is the time to lay the groundwork for this enormous job. Every person counts when it comes to the census. We got to count every person, and that can be a tall order, and getting it right is critical. But what does the census do? Why is this so important? Why are we all going to have to work together to get it right? You can call in with your questions and comments as we talk about the local census effort. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. If you got a question about how to make sure that you get counted, everyone in your family gets counted, if you're suspicious of the census, tell us what your concerns are, because we're here to build trust. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. With us this hour to talk about the census, we're joined by Elma Nieto Rodriguez. She is a member of the San Antonio Public Library leadership team, and she is the leader in the census library census efforts. Elma, welcome to The Source.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Berta Rodriguez is here, census administrator for the city of San Antonio. Berta, welcome.
Thank you, Damon.
And also here is Dwayne Robinson. He is the Bexar County Constituent Services Director and the county liaison for the 2020 census. Dwayne, it's great to have you.
Great to be here.
So, Berta Rodriguez, tell me about the census. Just like if I had never heard anything at all about the census, but what is this census thing that of which you speak? What is this thing?
So the census is a count of all residents of the United States that happens every 10 years. And the importance of the census and the importance of counting everyone in the United States is so that we can do several things. One is related to apportionment of congressional seats. So it determines the political power we have in D.C. A second relates to federal funding. Population data is used to allocate federal funding for programming related to healthcare, education, transportation. And thirdly, redistricting, which the state of Texas has already started to look at. So population data will help guide the redistricting and the redrawing of legislative lines in 2021. So those are the three big reasons for the census and for taking a headcount of all of our residents in the U.S.
So you said every person. You didn't say every citizen.
Correct.
And that's a big little detail there. So talk about why we go that way.
So counting everyone who lives on the in the United States. And by the way, just want to let the audience know, census April 1, 2020. So in April of 2020, we will be counting all residents because it's constitutionally mandated. So the Constitution mandates that every man, woman, child living in the United States as of April 1, 2020, get counted.
Okay. And every person, even though, so there is that question, the controversial question that was bandied about. Berta, tell me more about this question about citizenship. Where are we with that?
So the citizenship question is no longer part of the questionnaire. So in 2020, there will be no question about your citizenship or your status. And that is a positive thing for the census because that will allow individuals to come forth and be counted. And the rhetoric around the citizenship question created a lot of fear among those who may have had to say they weren't citizens, even though they were here legally. As you know, there are non-citizens who are here legally. But for that population of our community that might not have fallen into that category, there was quite a lot of fear around participating in the census. And so what we're going to be attempting to do is that now that the citizenship question is no longer part of this, we want to ensure that residents know that the census is safe and it's important. So part of our job as a team here that you've put together is to ensure that we educate our community of the importance of it and the importance to them specifically, the importance to them as a community, and the importance to us as a larger piece of the puzzle as a state, right? Because this, at the end of the day, is not just about counting us here locally. It's about counting across the state and across the country and showing the population shifts and the population changes so that we understand who we are and the needs of our communities.
So, Dwayne Robinson, why is this so hard?
I think that some people may be a little bit intimidated because you have the concerns of what your personal information may be used for. I think that's a lack of education in understanding what actually the federal government can and cannot use your personal information from.
And so are there people who don't want to be counted?
Absolutely.
And why do you think that is?
Again, firstly, it's a lack of education, and that's what part of our role is, to educate people on what actually can their information be used for. That is number one. And then what are the repercussions to this area if you're not counted?
In Bexar County, you're the concerned with Bexar County. There are areas in Bexar County, and it's growing. That's where we saw the most growth locally, is in the county.
Absolutely.
And getting an accurate count and a picture of what's going on, that's critical.
Sure.
What do you think we're going to find?
Well, number one, just as a little bit of background, most people, when they hear Bexar County, the first city that comes to mind, obviously, is the city of San Antonio. But there are 26 other municipally incorporated cities within Bexar County. So you have those 26, and then there's unincorporated Bexar County. Per the 2010 census, count, there was actually a little bit more population in unincorporated than the combined population of the 26 cities.
Yeah, we're talking, what is it, almost 300,000 people living in unincorporated Bexar County at this
point? That's correct.
That's the size of Waco, just right outside of the San Antonio borders.
Mm-hmm.
And if these people aren't totally counted, then it's going to be really hard to find federal dollars and resources, transportation, money
sure.
for roads, money
sure.
for schools.
Sure.
So people in these areas, they're pretty built up. They look pretty spiffy in most places, but they need to take part.
They absolutely need to be. They have to actually drive on public roads in some of those areas as well.
And then we also use those numbers locally to figure out how are we going to redistrict, say, like Bexar County. We have mm-hmm. four precincts for Bexar County. Where will we redraw those lines?
Yeah, well, the state legislature will actually be the entity that will actually redraw the lines. But with some of the projections that we have, we're anticipating possibly for the state alone, three more congressional seats, and that's significant.
And we have to understand where those congressional seats are. We have to determine who those congressional seats will be serving. If they will be minority-serving congressional districts, that will play a big role in how those districts are drawn, where those people are served. And it all comes down to not just citizenship, but also just residents. Where are the people? That's how the Constitution is written. As we're going to continue our conversation about the local 2020 census effort, we'll see how the San Antonio Public Library is playing a leadership role in that. We want to hear your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the local 2020 census efforts. The state of Texas refused to put any money into the census count. This is for the second most populous state in the nation. It was an unusual decision. California, which is the most populous state, they're putting more than $150 million into their statewide effort. So it is falling onto local counties and organizations, community groups, to come together to figure out how we can have a complete count. Having a complete count means we don't overlook any groups. We don't overlook any families. We make sure everyone is able to say, you are there. We see you. We count you. And you're important. We want you to be acknowledged in the U.S. Census. And there's so many repercussions if we have an undercount. We don't want that to happen. The number is 210-614-8980. If you want to call in and join our conversation, have you participated in a previous census? How did you do that? What was the process? Are you wary of the census and why? If 2020 will be your first time doing the census, what questions do you have? Let me go to Elma Nieto Rodriguez. She's a member of the San Antonio Public Library leadership team, and she's playing lead in the library census efforts. What is the library's role in the 2020 count?
And the libraries are going to be critical to the census, especially because we know that there is a lot of controversy right now about trying to participate. What do they do? So libraries, I think, it's going to be twofold. It's creating that awareness and that education, and it's also providing access to the resources that are available within the libraries. As you said, every citizen is accepted. Every citizen.
And non-citizen.
And non-citizen. Every citizen and non-citizen. Yes. All are accepted. And the libraries are institutionally have always stood on everyone is welcome. So we want individuals as a trusted organization to come and reach out to libraries in order so that we can provide information, help fight disinformation and misinformation that may be coming as part of this initiative from, say, other outside entities or organizations. We want to provide them with accurate resources. We also want to invite them to participate within our facilities.
Now, this census is going to be more high-tech than previous census. Not so much stuff in the mail, but maybe more online, right?
Mm-hmm. Initially, they'll get a mail invitation, which does invite them to submit their number online. With libraries, we have access to computers at all 28 of our facilities across the city. What I also like to say is, you know, smartphones are prolific, and folks will be able to also navigate the submission on their smartphones, but some folks don't know exactly how. Libraries can still help in helping individuals navigate to those pages as well.
Well, to me, you know, we have populations that are well accustomed and have a lot of internet access, broadband and cell phones and their TVs and their watches, and, you know, they got internet coming out all over them. Mm-hmm. But there are other folks in our communities that don't have all that.
How do we
make sure that those are the individuals, and these are the ones we really want to make sure get counted because they have a great need for services, how do we make sure we reach those?
Part of our efforts are, you know, what do we have in-house? What do we have available? And a lot of our outreach is done to those communities as well. All of our libraries are near hard-to-count areas. So what we are doing is attempting to make sure that that awareness reaches out from our facilities. Could potentially be outreach at some of those locations where we feel there may be an opportunity for us to provide information, but certainly invitation as well to come to what is has been standing within their communities and neighborhoods for so long as a resource for them as well.
The number is 210-614-8980 to join our conversation as we talk about the census. If I'm 18 years old, do I go with my family census? Do I do my own count? How do I, when I'm an adult and I'm adulting Bertha Rodriguez with the City of San Antonio, when do I become independent in the census?
So that's all going to be driven by where you live, where you are come April 1. Let's say you are away at school, living on campus. There will be site-based enumerations that happen administratively through those campuses. So the Bureau will manage that directly with the institution. Say that you're living off campus and you are living with five other roommates. Here's what we want them to understand. Those that are living in a household with multiple individuals that could claim head of household, 18 and above, is that we are counting heads, but we are counting them within a household. So if you and five other individuals live in an apartment, only one census form would get filled out for those five individuals. And so there's an education process that is going to have to happen in community about the household being what we will report on or what the census will gather information about, but the individuals within that households will be reported within one questionnaire. So age is a factor only if you are living on your own. But if you are living in a household still with your parents, then you go in that questionnaire with that household where you live. So that's the key point, is that where you live on April 1 is where you get counted in that household.
What questions are they going to ask me, Dwayne Robinson? I'm a very shy person. I don't, just like to have a low profile. I don't know about answering questions from these government people. What do they want to know?
So I'm going to defer to Berta on that. But I do want to bring to your attention in terms of making sure that we get out and we do a complete and accurate count is, so the city of San Antonio and Bexar County came together to form a complete count committee. And what we had happen was each of the city council members appointed about 3 people to the committee, and then each of the 4 commissioners appointed 2. And then we broke those individuals out into various subcommittees so we could focus their attention on the areas that I would say that they had an expertise on, say the education community, the business community, the faith-based community, the military community, one that's going to deal with the rural areas of Bexar County, and then a media and marketing one. So we have a strategy that we're developing within this complete count committee to help us encompass every area as possible in making sure we get a complete and accurate count.
And Berta, can you tell me, like, what questions are they going to ask?
Yes,
me?
And so one of the things that we will also be helping the community understand is that the questionnaire is very straightforward, simple, with only question with about 8 to 10 questions. Should only take about 10 minutes. So it'll address the number of people living in your household come April 1. Again, that April 1 date is very important. Whether the home is owned, phone number for the person, the name, sex, age, and birth. There is also a question on race and ethnicity, and the relationship to the people on the questionnaire of the person who's claiming head of household. That's it. No other personal questions, no information about your...
You said, okay, race, ethnicity. That's not a simple, straightforward question
anymore. No, it's
not.
You're right. It's not. And there are some subcategories in there that individuals will be able to self-select. It is not as expansive as we would like to see it, but it does start to incorporate other subgroups within a race or within an ethnic component. So you're right. A complicated question, but what the Bureau is attempting to do is to identify as many subcategories, and I don't have those with me, but
right.
But they are attempting to identify those subcategories within race and ethnicity.
So, I mean, is it you fill in a bubble type thing?
You do, yes.
And so they'll have what, like non-Hispanic white? Is that
non-Hispanic white, or even within Hispanic, the you could identify the area of Latin America. So again, they are attempting to gather as many subgroups as they have identified being representative of our country now. And so they've done extensive research to show that these are the populations that have grown in the last 10 years since the last decennial, and have incorporated those. The final, the Bureau is still yet to release the final questionnaire, and so we're still learning what those subcategories are going to be and what the questionnaire is going to look like. But we have a general sense of the basic questions. And what we want the community to understand is that it is not the questionnaire that asks all of the personal data. There's a separate called the American Community Survey that is a longer questionnaire that has a lot of personal information that is asked. That is not going to be the case for the 2020 decennial. It is what is referred to as a short form. And so no personal data outside of name, age, relationship, home ownership, et cetera, will be or should be in anything that gets answered by the community.
And there's a gender question?
Yes, there is.
And is that binary?
Male, female. There is in this decennial the opportunity to identify a same-sex marriage and/or household partner for the first time. So that.
But if you're transitioning,
they're not capturing that data in
this.
See
how complicated things get.
It is complicated.
It's so simple.
Well,
the simplicity of it. Anything I tell you, there's one thing about people is that they'll always surprise you.
Yeah. Well, the simplicity I think that I want to convey is that the length of the time it'll take to answer the questions and the number of questions related to personal data, and that is from security standpoint, what we want community to understand is that they should not be answering questionnaires that have anything about personal data. And that really, really what we want the community to understand.
So some people may ask, well, let me go ahead and take this caller. And let's get to Xavier on the air. Xavier, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just calling. I'm a lister for the census. I'm actually on my way to work right now. I was listening. So this first wave of canvassing that we're doing is actually pretty just general questions. It's nothing really invasive. It's more so just, do you receive your mail at this address? Is this a single family home? Stuff like that.
Okay, Xavier, thank you for that. So he's saying these are questions are very simple and they are straightforward.
So currently the Census Bureau is doing an address canvassing, and if I'm not mistaken, Xavier, that was what you were referring to. So we have in our county right now about 250 listers that are visually observing our household and ensuring that the address list that the Bureau has is accurate so that when they do their mail-outs next April, they will go to the households that need to receive them. And so currently there are listers in our community that are Census Bureau and should self-identify as Bureau employees. And so if the community sees these individuals in and around their neighborhood, they should feel comfortable that that is a process that is ongoing in preparation for 2020.
And but it's interesting that, you know, Xavier is working for this U.S. Census, or you are doing a lot of hiring, right?
So that is on the Bureau side. So that is something that we definitely want to encourage.
But I will say that
Elma?
Libraries are participating in that. We've had recruitment tables at our libraries encouraging folks who are looking for census positions. We've also had a few of our locations that have hosted training sites for some employees as well. So we've been on this preparation end of getting the prepared for the Census 2020 by helping put those folks in place who are going to help.
So no one here at the table is with the U.S. Census directly, but they are, the Census is doing hiring, and that can be also a barrier right now for having a really robust, complete count, is that it's going to be tough hiring because of the job market is so strong right now. There aren't a lot of people who are looking for work, actually. So all the more that this could be for volunteers working with groups and community agencies who should be coming together and trying to figure out, and then also encouraging people to go to the library. So Elma, so tell me again about how the library is playing a role in that.
What the library has done, we were contacted by the Census Bureau to see if we could potentially host recruitment tables, just an individual who comes and provides information so that individuals who are seeking to be employed by the Census, they provide information, connect them with the resources to be able to apply to be any number of take any number of positions that they're currently seeking.
All right. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about the local 2020 census effort. If you've got a question or a comment to how this will impact you, where you can participate, call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Source continues right after this.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the local census 2020 efforts. There's $675 billion in federal funds for education, Medicaid, Pell Grants, school vouchers, transportation projects, all that. It's a big pile of money on this giant table in Washington, D.C. And if you want to know who gets a share of that money, depends upon how many people you have in your state, in your community. In order to claim your appropriate share, you got to have a complete solid count of your community. If you undercount, then you're going to lose your part of that giant pile of money. And that's a problem. So in the past, both Governor Bill Clemens, Governor George W. Bush, other past governors, they've issued executive orders. They've been very aggressive to set up complete count committees for the 1990 and the 2000 censuses in Texas. But this go around, Governor Greg Abbott has not. So that's a big question mark. Why did he do that? But the George Washington Institute for Public Policy estimates that a 1% census counting error in Texas, an undercount by 1%, could cost the state up to $300 million in lost federal funding. So that shows you how important it is that we get this right. So we're talking about that this afternoon. The number is 210-614-8980. So Dwayne Robinson, the Bexar County Constituent Services Director and County Liaison for the 2020 Census, can you talk about building trust? It seems like trust is essential in order to have a complete count.
Oh, absolutely. And to add to your figure a little bit, that $300 million figure, that would be $300 million a year for 10 years.
Adds up.
But in terms of trust, one of the things that we try to do, Judge Wolf and Mayor Nuremberg came together to form the Complete Count Committee. And one of the things that we tried to do was encourage them to appoint individuals to the committee that were what we call trusted voices within the community. And that's essential. For me, from the county perspective, especially when I'm out there in unincorporated Bexar County, sometimes those elected officials at the county level are some of the only people that they touch. Because in unincorporated, you don't have a local government per se. Your government, if you will, would be the county. So it's very important for me, as we're out in those areas, that we identify with folks that they trust in that community, be it if they came from neighborhood associations or if they came from the faith-based community. Those trusted voices are critical.
A lot of schools could be playing a role in
this.
Berta Rodriguez with the City of San Antonio Census Administrator. How are schools playing a role in helping get the word out?
So, as Dwayne mentioned, the Complete Count Committee was established, and one of the areas that is a key focus is education. And so we have an entire subcommittee focused on education, and that subcommittee has broken up into three different strategies: one higher ed strategy, a K through 12 strategy, and households with under five. And I'm just going to give you a quick data on why households under five. In 2010, households with children under five, so the children under five were the one population that was grossly undercounted by 1 million. And so what that led to is not planning for a population that today is 10 to 15 year olds, and we're seeing some of that in our education system, et cetera. But getting back to the education, so the task forces have been established, and Dr. Lawson and Dr. Blanton on the higher ed have gathered 12 private, public, proprietary higher ed institutions have done a pseudo-collective impact approach at what strategies can be implemented across all of the higher ed institutions. Another task force led by Selena Gomez, Coda Rio Garza, and Myra De Hoyos from Region 20 just met with the Bexar County ISDs last week, and they brought their representatives and did a planning session to start to look at what strategies can we implement at the campus level or at the district level or at the region level with our K through 12 entities. And so they're looking to get PTAs involved. They're looking to go into campuses if possible to have the campus serve as a resource site for actual answering the questionnaire through their computer lab. So that's being planned on, and there's also a K through 12, an under 5 population strategy that's being worked on. So we're trying to get into those educational systems because we know that's where the families that are at risk of being undercounted are, and that's where we can reach them again through a trusted entity that they will feel comfortable when they are asked to participate. That if this trusted entity is asking them, then it must be something that they can trust to do.
So do you mean there's could be activities in the classroom teaching kids about the census?
Yes.
So they understand what it is, and they should know it. You know, if you're an American, yep. if you're here, if you're going to be living in our society, you should know what the census is. And then they go home and they say, sure. and it comes up at the dinner table, and I know all about it, Dad. Let me tell you about it.
Yes, and the Bureau actually has a really great programs called Statistics in Schools that they are encouraging the ISDs to incorporate into their classroom. And it's Statistics in Schools is from K on up to 12th grade. And they've got worksheets and the ability for the teacher to go online and use the mapping systems that have been put together to look at the different populations by census tract. So they have a very robust programming. Again, it's called Statistics in Schools that the Bureau is encouraging the schools to use, so that just as you laid out, the conversation goes to the dinner table, and then the parents and or caretakers of that household become aware of the importance of it, and then there's participation. So at the end, we want a call to action.
Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980 with Loretta. Hi, Loretta. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I was curious how they will make sure people working in the oil fields get counted. That's one of the most dangerous jobs in the country. So they have a lot at stake in making sure dollars go towards safety programs. So I was wondering what will take place there.
All right, Loretta, so that's an interesting question because oil field workers tend to be migratory. You know, they go where the jobs are. And so how would y'all work that, Bertha Rodriguez?
So the Census Bureau has, again.
And it's for any job that sort of moves around.
Exactly. That's what they're calling transient enumeration. And the Bureau is the one that will be responsible for that enumeration. And they are establishing partnerships with those entities that have that population, that transient population, whether it's a racetrack or whether it's a carnival or whether it's an oil field. And so the Bureau has a huge task.
Or a migrant worker.
A migrant worker, exactly. And so that transitory individual will be counted, again, where they are residing on April 1. And the Bureau has an entire department that is focused on transitory and other types of enumeration, because there is other types of enumeration that will happen, site-based enumeration of the homeless, site-based enumeration of elderlies who are living in residential facilities, site-based enumeration of individuals who are on-site campus dormitory living arrangements. So again, Bureau has a huge task ahead of them. Our role as a community is to support that and to ensure that our residents are educated about the importance of it, and that when it comes time to getting the information in the mail, they understand what it is and they understand why they should participate.
I've got a Twitter. this is from Ken Rick. Complete count is left speak for counting people who were in this country illegally. San Antonio, a de facto sanctuary city, uses illegal aliens to artificially inflate its population. Thank you for that tweet, Ken Rick. Let me go to Dwayne Robinson with the Bexar County. So is the a complete count left speak for counting people who are in this country illegally?
Absolutely not.
And, you know, but so what and to inflating our population artificially, you know, is that something that is done? I'm not really sure what he's getting at, but do you have anything to add to that, Bertha Rodriguez?
So I don't see that as an artificial inflation of population. We're populated at the level that we're populated. So the people that are here are the people that are here. And the census, the premise of the census, which earlier I mentioned, that it's constitutionally mandated that everyone gets counted. And the census has evolved since it initially started. Initially, African Americans were not counted, and then they were only counted as half of an individual, and women. And so we understand that position. But at the end of the day, the position that the gentleman and or
well, the courts have weighed in on,
and
this.
They have weighed in 2016. They weighed in very affirmatively that.
But what about somebody who wants to turn this into a political issue? This is a non-political thing.
Yes, it is, and it should be viewed that way. And that's the narrative that we want community to understand, is that this is a non-political initiative. This is an initiative that happens only every 10 years to reflect who we are as a nation, to show the population that exists here as a nation. And then the data is used to determine very important things about how we function as a nation. And so, unless you want to go back and rewrite the Constitution of who gets counted, we are going to count everyone who is residing in our county.
All right. So we're talking about the U.S. Census. What other ways, new ways that have gone into the census to engage with the community? Technology is part of this. What are some of the opportunities for the community to come together with the technology? Maybe they don't have internet in their homes. We'll talk about why the library is involved in this and other strategies that can be used to make sure that we get a complete count here locally. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Do you agree with Ken Rick from Twitter that the complete count is left speak for counting people who are in the country illegally? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin. Davies Trust is a big part of getting a complete 2020 census count. Unfortunately, there are some people who are trying to undermine that trust for their own reasons. The Bexar County Sheriff's Department recently released a warning about scammers posing as 2020 census workers. We got to figure out, educate the public into knowing how you tell the difference between a legitimate census worker and somebody who may be, you know, acting as one. So let me go to Bertha Rodriguez real quick from the census administrator from the city of San Antonio. How do y'all identify, because you don't work for the Census Bureau, you're a coordinator, and the Census Bureau right now, they're not able really to talk to the media directly, so we only can talk to community organizations partnering with the Census Bureau. So, but this is something that I'm sure people need to know about, right?
Definitely. And so one of the things you pointed out is that how do you identify a census worker in community? And the Bureau has provided us with information of what their badges will look like, what their equipment would look like, what their bags that they carry would look like, and with information that says that in community, Census Bureau workers self-identify. So if you're getting a knock on your door, because some of the listers in community right now doing address canvassing will need to knock on doors. If you get a knock on door, they should self-identify. You should know right away that you're dealing with a federal Bureau employee. And there is on the Census Bureau website an actual visual of what that badge would look like. The second thing is during this process, during the address canvassing process, which is the preparation for ensuring a count in 2020, there are no questions being asked other than, is this the correct address for this household, and is there any other households on the property? That's it. That's the only information that's being gathered. So any information past that, community should be a little wary, but that shouldn't be happening. Again, you will expect a self-identification.
Right. And we need to make clear that the Census Bureau will never, ever ask you for your Social Security number. It'll never ask you for a bank account or credit card numbers or even funds for money for donations. That is something that will never, ever happen. And if someone asks you for this information, you shut the door, call 911.
Exactly. That will not be asked, and that is a major red flag that they are not...
they're not legitimate.
They're not legitimate, and they're...
They're
exactly,
crooks.
Well, I'll let you say that.
I mean, they're dirty, low-down snakes. Okay, Elma Nieto Rodriguez with the San Antonio Public Library. The library is a trusted institution, and so what a better partner to have than with the census. So can you talk about how y'all are part of this organization, what role you're playing again?
And we like to believe, yes, that we're a trusted entity within the community. We're in all of those neighborhoods across the city who are looking, that we want to help participate. What we are going to be doing is setting aside some computers specifically for folks who are interested in submitting, as well as having informed and trained staff that can help them navigate on the site. They won't, because we respect the privacy of individuals, input for them, but we certainly can help them get started. So we want to be very sure that our communities are aware that we're available to be able to assist.
Now, the libraries are in the city of San Antonio, outside of our city limits in Bexar County. We have the Biblioteca and Dwayne Robinson with Bexar County Services. Can you talk about the role they're playing?
Oh, absolutely. So currently we have four bibliotheques in Bexar County, and two of them are actually in housing developments. So they reach a constituent or folks that aren't traditionally, they don't have access to the internet. They don't have access to a lot of the things that in this day and age really will help them. I do want to bring to your attention also the fact that as a result of the census, nationally, from a free lunch perspective, you're talking about in last year, they fed over 240,000 meals. I mean, there's no getting around the fact that we have to have a complete and accurate count, David. The impact on our community is tremendous. TxDOT currently has some 179 construction projects. That's $1.3 billion. For those folks who are a little bit intimidated by filling out the census, drive down 35 on a Saturday afternoon. You know, the impact is just so far ranging, and it's so critical. The bibliothecs will help. We have one on the south side that building is in conjunction with one of our municipal operations. And you get a lot of folks that come in and out of that building. We have one that's in the central jury room when you go to do when you go down to the court to do jury duty. So it's a growing entity. We only have four locations right now, not a lot in the rural area, but that's where I think we're headed.
So we have a housing crunch here in San Antonio. That means for some folks, they're doubling up in housing units. Bertha Rodriguez, when you get the census form for a housing unit, and maybe there are more people living in that house or that apartment than they told the landlord, and so they may be reluctant in order to, you know, be totally Jake on the census form, what do they do?
So I'm going to walk you through the process of what the mail of getting a census is, and then I'll get to your question, because I think it's part of the answer for...
Because they can have like a two-bedroom apartment,
right,
and there could be like
right.
10 people living there.
Right. And so at the end of the day, what we want community to understand is when you get that questionnaire, fill it out with who lives there. And
it will not go to the apartment landlord.
It does not get shared with any other entity. So under Title 13, the data is protected, and it's protected for 72 years, which is the lifespan. I'm going to live a lot longer, but it's the lifespan of an individual. And so we really, really need community to understand that the information is safe and protected, and that this is important for them, and for them to fill out the information accurately and reflecting who is in their household. So if you have multi-generational households, if you have households where individuals are couch surfing, right? I mean, just right. There's...
That means he doesn't really live there,
but... he's sleeping there, and he's been living there for a period of time where it constitutes that he could be living there.
He'd be there on April 1st, 2020.
And he's there on April 1st. If they're there on April 1st, then they get counted there. Because they would... That individual, I mean, to the couch surfer, that individual will have no other place to identify as a household. And
well,
so
what
he
about
would go
the homeless?
Under county. So the homeless enumeration is going to happen two ways. One is what's referred to as SBE, site-based enumeration, and that bureau will manage administratively with organizations such as Haven for Hope or Sam's Ministries or other organizations that offer sheltered places for the homeless. The unsheltered enumeration will also only be handled by the Bureau. They will be in community with a handheld where they will be able to identify on a map and create a heat map spot of where they gathered information from an individual. What the complete count committee will do is work with the Bureau to help them identify those sheltered sites and even the unsheltered sites. We're working closely with Sarah, who does the point in time in January, and with Haven for Hope and with Sam's Ministries. But
the homeless individuals, they need to be counted as
well. They need to most definitely be counted.
And Dwayne Robinson, what about the folks who stay at the county jail? The population can go from day to day from 300 to 500 in the county jail.
Correct. So again, I think if you go back to something that Berta just said, number one, you've got the Bureau that will actually handle and conduct the count. There needs to be no confusion out there that it's not the responsibility of the city of San Antonio or Bexar County to actually conduct the count. The Bureau will conduct the count. So the Bureau will be working very closely with the county and the county jail folks to make sure we get a complete and accurate count, though.
And the military, if they're on base, how does that get counted, Berta?
Again, that would be an administrative count that the Bureau would manage directly with the bases.
And if they're there on April 1st and they get counted, does that get counted as local population?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
And so, and Elman Nieto Rodriguez with the San Antonio Public Library, are y'all staffing up? You guys have trained your staff in order to handle questions from people who come in who want to use the computer to do this?
We are taking a survey of all the locations to see what is going to be the most optimal. And some neighborhoods will need a little different type of assistance. Some, like you said, they've got internet all around them, maybe not so much. But we want to be sure that we target those locations that have hard-to-count communities to have a more robust presence in making that awareness available. Yeah.
So Berta Rodriguez, how will I typically interact with the census? Just a normal guy. You know, I have a house. What will happen to me?
So hopefully you won't need to. So yeah. The goal of the census of the Bureau this year is to do everything online. And so you'll get a letter in the mail saying, David, please respond online. Fill out the questionnaire. If you don't, you'll get another letter saying,
Reminder. Please
go online. And if you don't, that third time, you'll get something that is the form.
And so you want everyone to... look for that thing in the mailbox.
And immediately respond.
Go ahead and go online.
Because
you can do it on your phone. You can do it on your laptop. You can do it at work. You can do it at the library.
Yes.
And go ahead and just fill out those 8 or 9 simple questions about your not-so-simple questions. And then you're good. You're counted.
You're counted. And it will not require someone to physically go to your house. And that is where the cost comes in for the Bureau. And we're trying to eliminate that.
And then tell everyone else around you, your extended family, tell all your friends and coworkers that you count. All right. I want to thank all of our guests this afternoon. Elman Nieto Rodriguez with the San Antonio Public Library, working with the census. Berta Rodriguez, she's our census administrator for the city of San Antonio. Dwayne Robinson is the Bexar County Constituent Services Director and a county liaison for the 2020 census. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director.